Titus chapter 2, we'll begin in verse number 11, read down through the end of the chapter. Titus chapter 2, verse 11, let's all stand for the reading of the Bible, beginning at verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Heavenly Father, thank you for the example of your Son. Jesus, thank you as you came, showed us, taught us a wonderful way to live. And Lord, I pray, dear Lord, as we just kind of learn from you tonight, that you'll open our hearts, not just for the opportunities in the week ahead, but the opportunities in the year ahead. Lord, if you tarry in your coming, help us to be Christ-like in this wonderful, wonderful way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Have you look back, if you will, and Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. If you have an ink pen and you don't mind marking in your Bible, I want you to underline two words. Then I'm going to have you do a little bit of a Bible drill with me. We're going to go and chase these two words around a little bit. Underline them in our Bible. Titus 2 verse 14, who gave himself. Gave himself. Those are the two words we're going to focus on in our introduction. Who gave himself for us. Underline that if you will. Then if you'll go to Galatians chapter 1, just a few books back, Galatians chapter number 1. And if you'll look at verses 3 and 4, Galatians chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4. Galatians 1, verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who, there's those two words again, gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. So if you will, underline those two words again, gave himself in verse number 4, who gave himself. Then in chapter 2 of the same book, you just have to move a page over, verse number 20. Galatians 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Gave himself for me. So there's another opportunity to underline those two words. Next book of the Bible, book of Ephesians, if you'll go there. Chapter number 5, Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians 5, and you'll look at verse number 25. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Gave himself for it. There's those two words again. Let's go over to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. First Timothy chapter 2, if you look at verse 13. I'm sorry, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy 2, and look at verse 6. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And then if you'll find the book of Titus, next book in the Bible, two books over, Titus chapter 2. That brought us back to where we started. Looking for that blessed hope, verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Folks, I think it's been well established, and we all would agree that the greatest gift that was ever given was given by the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he gave was himself. I want to preach on this subject tonight, the gift of you, the gift of you. My wife told me a story when she came home tonight this afternoon that was so sweet and perfect for the introduction of this message tonight. She said that several of the young people that came to her Sunday school class brought a gift for their teacher. Good parents training kids to show appreciation. Thank you for doing that. And so there was several of them as the class was being dismissed that on their way out was handing my wife little gifts, little tokens, maybe a little card they wrote, something. And then there's two bus boys at the back of the line, two boys that rode the bus, and they looked at each other and they looked up at her, and all the kids were gone. They were left, and one of the little boys looked up at her and said, "I brought you a gift too." And she said, "Okay." And he reached over and gave her a hug. And the other boy thought, "That's genius." So he said, "I brought you a gift also." And he reached over and gave her a hug. And she took those two precious little boys and got down where she could talk to them and said, "Don't tell all the other kids, but those were the two best gifts I got." That's what Jesus did. You know, preacher, I don't have a whole lot. You have you. You have you. Can I make just some statements in introduction? The gift of you is the most Christ-like gift you can give. The most Christ-like gift you can give. The gift of you is a gift that can be given repeatedly. You know, sometimes if you have something very costly, very precious, and you give it away, you can't afford another one of those. But, you know, every day, many, many, many times a day, you can give the gift of you, and it's always there to be given again. Let me say this. The gift of you, I believe, is the most valuable gift you can give. You say, "Preacher, more than some expensive token, expensive item." Yes, because when you give of you, when you give your time to somebody else, folks, time is the most valuable thing that we have. Never forget this, young people. Time is life. When somebody gives you some of their time, they're giving you some of their life. Now, if they give you some money, that's great. But, you know, they could go back and make that money back. If they give you their time, they can never go back and get that time that they invested in you. And so I believe it's the most valuable gift a person can give. The gift of you is the gift that we can most easily take for granted. Come on now. Young people, don't take for granted the gift that your mother gives you every day. Say, "Preacher, what gift?" The gift of her. The gift of her. Don't take for granted the gift that your dad gives you every single day. "Well, preacher, I don't remember the last time he gave me a gift." Oh, my goodness sake, shame on you. You don't think very well. You don't think very deeply. Because if he gave you any of his time, he gave you the greatest gift he could give you. You know, when somebody here at the church invests in you and takes from something that they could be doing from themselves with their time and instead invested in you, then you know what? They've given you the greatest gift of all. But I'm going to tell you, it can be the gift that we take for granted the most. Now, Jesus gave us this example. What better example? Jesus gave us the example, and that is this. When he came to earth, folks, come on, we've focused on the Christmas story. I think the Lord allowed him to come the way he came because he was born into a very poor family. You know what? It's not like Jesus was born into a family and inherited riches and wealth and gold and silver. But you know what? What he did have was himself. And that's what he came to give. And he gave himself for us. And so he set the example for us. Let me give you some thoughts to ponder in the middle of this gift-giving season. And let me remind you that not only during the Christmas season, but going into a new year, the greatest gift that you can give anybody is the gift of you. Number one, Christ gave himself for a sinful world. For a sinful world. In Galatians 1, we read, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father." So when Jesus came to earth, he could have taken his life, the little bit of time he had, and he could have given it to a lot of different people for a lot of different reasons, but the majority of his time was given to the lost. And can I say this, folks? Let's learn from that. If Jesus came and set the example of giving of ourselves, of giving himself for a sinful world, then I think one of the greatest gifts of you that you can give is to the lost. I believe every single person, every single day, every single opportunity, at least every single week, should take a part of their life and go out and do what Jesus did. The Bible says the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, but preacher, you just don't understand how valuable my time is. I'm sorry, more valuable than Christ's time was? And if he can find the time to give himself to lost people, but they don't appreciate it. Well, that's true, that a lot of them didn't, but some of them did. But a lot of people rejected him. Yes, a lot of them did, but not all of them did. And you know what? I think one of the ways that we show a lost and dying world the Savior is by giving of ourselves. Can I take you over to 1 Thessalonians? We're not that far from it. And I want you to see a portion of Scripture that has the potential to change your life. I know this because I think God used this portion of Scripture to change my life. This matter of sharing the gospel, but not just giving people the gospel, but giving the people you as you give them the gospel. Preacher, explain it. That to me, well, let me read, and I think the Bible will explain it to all of us. 1 Thessalonians 2:2. But even after that, we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi. We were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. Notice what he says here. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. You know, let me just teach our soul winners something and maybe remind our soul winners of this. If you're not careful, you can become very practiced and very clinical in your presentation of the gospel. But you know what people need to see, along with the gospel, what they need to know, is that you genuinely care. Yes, and I know that we're involved in a program that whose goal is to get the gospel to every door, but I never want to get in such a hurry that I'm just running by, I call it doing drive-by visitation, almost like a drive-by shooting, you know, where you just pause long enough to just throw the gospel at them so that you can mark off another street. Because everybody that you meet and everybody that you talk to, they're real people. Right. And you know what? They've heard a lot of stuff in their life. And a lot of people have lied to them, and a lot of people have taken advantage of them. And the honest truth is, when they first meet you, they just figure you're just the next one that really just wants something from them. And it takes a baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm not afraid of that term. It takes a filling of the Holy Spirit. It takes a surrender and a God anointing to be able to stand in front of somebody and for them to see that you're not just there to rattle off some memorized ditty to try to sign them up to come to your church, but that you genuinely care for their soul. Did you see what he said there? So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear to us. And I've mentioned this just recently, and I'm going to say it again. I think we got some of the greatest Sunday school teachers in America, and I'm not just exaggerating. I really believe that. But let me tell you why our Sunday school teachers, I think, are as effective as they are. Because when they go in there, they're not just interested in delivering a lesson. If you can, by the way, you can do it this way. You can just study your lesson, walk in, stand up, and, you know, let's keep a nice buffer between me and the students, because I don't want to catch anything, and I've come here to go through my outline and to get you to set up, and you listen and I deliver, and then please, you can leave now, and I'm done for another week. And you know what? You will have very little effect. You know, you can have a nursing home and be there every single month, But you know what? They've seen people come and they've seen people go. And they've seen people come. Listen, you know what they're looking for? You know what they're looking for? You know what allows you to break through and give them the gospel and see their life change and see somebody say, when you're willing to kneel down beside that wheelchair and you're willing to listen to their stories and you're willing to look them in the eye and you're willing to hold their hand, you're willing to say, what's on your heart? What's heavy on your heart? Can I pray with you? Can I pray with you about that? See, folks, listen to me. We've got to understand when Jesus came, he didn't just come and minister from afar, but he rolled up his sleeves and got right in the trenches. You know what? He was in contact with the people. And I wish I could have been there. I wish I could have seen him. But I would love to have seen the face of Christ as he's teaching the people, whether it's in a group, whether it's his disciples, or whether it's one-on-one at midnight with a Pharisee. And I would have loved to have seen the look on Jesus' face. Wonder how many times as he spoke, a tear trickled down his eye. Wonder how many times when he pleaded with somebody and warned somebody, there was a compassion in his voice. I wonder how many people walked away and just said, I've never seen anything like that. I've never experienced something like that. It's not just what he said, it's who he was. And I want to remind all of us that as we give ourselves to a lost and dying world, they need to see that it's real in us. They need to see that we care about them. We need to take a few minutes, young people, and I know you're learning and I get that. You know, you go through the soul winning course, but you're gonna have to learn something besides just knocking on the door. Do you go to church anywhere? If you die today, do you know if you go to heaven? You know, that's fine. And if that's all you can do, thank God they're doing that. I mean that. Don't be critical. Hey, they're doing it. Are you? All right, so. Well, one of the things I want you to get to understand is you gotta slow down a little bit. And you got to meet that person. And did you even ask their name? One man said this, the most beautiful music to any man's ear is the sound of his own name. And you know, once you learn that person's name and you use that name, that builds a connection with that person. Do you ask them, so have you lived here in this area your whole life? You know, we met somebody the other day and was able to see a lady receive Christ as her Savior. And she told me how she was raised in Chicago and then for 20 years lived in Chicago. And then she took a trip to Alaska. And she said, I just decided I wanted to see Alaska. So I got in the car and drove to Alaska at 20 years of age. She said, I made it back through, came through Idaho. It was so beautiful. I said, I'm going to stay here. I've never made it back to Chicago. So she said, "Say, preacher, how do you know that story? I asked. You know, here I've spent the years up in Chicago. I could, if she told me where she lived in Chicago, I mean the main intersection, I'd probably driven through there. I probably know where she lived. And then I had Brother Ron with me that grew up in Montana, which is a next door neighbor to Idaho. And he's talking to her about the West and what they experienced. Now, are you understanding this? What are we doing? Oh, you're just wasting time. No. Any time you spend getting to know people shows that you care. And I don't mean doing it as some trick so that you can get them to listen to you. I mean, I really care. I mean, I'm interested. You know what? Most people in this world are really only interested in themselves. You know why they engage in conversation? With one goal. So that they can get you to listen to what they want to say about them. But rare is the person that wants to find out about somebody else. And ask the questions. Listen, it's not a matter. Are we going to give the gospel? Yeah, we gave the gospel. We got around to it. But you know what we did first? We gave our own souls. Now, folks, listen to me. Jesus did that. That's the way he ministered. He gave himself for us. Yes, on the cross eventually. But before he ever gave himself on the cross, he gave himself in his life to people. So Christ gave himself for this sinful world. As we go into 2020, let's take some time and give ourselves to the lost. Let's give of ourselves and then give them the gospel. Number two, Jesus gave himself for individuals. I'm all for reaching the masses and we want to do that. But I'm going to tell you, the real connection that you make with most people is the time that you spend with them individually. I challenged our church just a few weeks ago, and I've done this from time to time. But I've asked our senior saints, I've asked some of the folks that aren't involved in bus ministry, would you just decide that you're going to connect in on an individual level with some of our bus kids, some of our bus teens. And listen to me, folks, please, I'm begging you. Some of our bus adults, listen, they're not second-class people. You say, well, preacher, good night. Some of the new ones that are coming, they're rough around the edges. Amen, they are. And you know what? Some of them have made some real mistakes, some real mess-ups in their life. And you know what? The devil's used them and abused them, and then you know what he does after that? He loses them. He throws them on the trash heap of this world. Isn't that what we're supposed to do, is kind of go around and dumpster dive and, and look for those people who've been thrown away, and look for those people that feel like they're worthless, and look for those people that feel like they've ruined their lives? And I mean, isn't that kind of the prime candidate for finding someone who wants to be saved? If you don't think that that's the prime candidate, go to the richest neighborhood in Indianapolis and knock on doors and try to explain to those people their need of anything, let alone the Lord Jesus Christ. And so reach out to them. Take the time to find their name. Take the time to just track them down. Hey, you know, when we have handshaking time on Sunday morning, there's really a reason for that. Listen to me. I'm going to help you with something. It's not so you can sit there and judge the church based on how many people come by and shake your hand. It's really not. You know, some of you this morning, you were within two pews of a brand new visitor or a recent brand new convert, and you won't budge. And you know what? I'm not here to make you. And I'm not here to keep score. I'm busy doing what I know I need to do. But I'm telling you, you're missing an opportunity, because you could give of yourself. You could make that person feel welcome. You could build a connection with that person. And you know what? That's the best way we can get them to walk back in the door the next Sunday, is say, you know what? They cared about us. They cared about us. They cared about us. I mean, that's the best thing. That's the best thing that we can do. Jesus gave himself to individuals. Let's start within our own family unit. Hey, husbands, why don't we just give ourselves to our wives? Come on, we've spent enough of our time being worried about us. We've been number one for long enough. Why don't we give ourselves more to our wives? Hey, wives, why don't you give of yourself to your husbands? Hey, fathers, why don't you give of yourselves to your children? Mothers, give of yourselves. Brothers to sisters, sisters to brothers. I know they can irritate the snot out of you sometime, but there's still a worthy investment. There's still a worthy investment. Spend some time loving them and helping them and mentoring them. Come on, older kids. You got a ministry there. Reach down and love them. Help them along the way. Take some time for individuals outside of your family circle. Some of you are real good about taking care of your family, but it's kind of like you got a circle there and that's all you're worried about. Hey, you know what? You have a church family too. Reach out. Make an impact, make a difference. You see, Christ gave himself to and for the individuals. Number three, Christ gave himself for the church. We read in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wife even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. It referring back to the church. Well, how much should we love our church? I think we ought to love our church as much as Christ loved the church. How much did he love it? He was willing to give himself for it. Well, this is where I just want to stand up, and I just wish I could honestly had the time to go up and down every pew and every row and shake every hand at the end of another year and just say thank you from a pastor's heart as I watch people every single week give of themselves for Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I mean that. Thank you so much. Thank you for giving me your time. I pulled in sometime this week, and the garage door was open so much, and there was a tarp on one part of it and a fan blowing out the other opening of it, and I know what's going on whenever I see that. A bus is getting painted. You know how I know that? Well, we've painted one or two around here in our time. And you know what, folks, here, I want to thank those of you that have pitched in. We've had a bus down for a few weeks, and you know what? People have taken their individual vehicles in time and raced around and run around and picked young people up. And hey, thank you for Brother Jack Gordon. Thank you, Brother Chad Gordon. They're working hard to get that bus ready and ready to go and on the road. And those kids ask me every week, when we get in a bus, when we get in a bus. And but you know what? Thank God. Thank you for taking the time. Thank you. You know, we you know, here we are, we're not mowing. But I want to say this, our church yard this year, I think, week to week, looked as good as it has ever looked. And you know, when I pull in on a Sunday morning, I look around and I see, you know, everything mowed and everything trimmed. You know, folks, listen, and I could stand up here and I go a list of 25, 30 things and probably still miss some people. But good night. Thank you, men. Thank you, men. There's not a man. I looked at the list. There's not a man on that mowing list that does not live a busy life. And when their turn comes, I promise you, they have to move some things around to come over here and see to it that the yard's taken care of. But thank you. Thank you. You know, we had every once in a while have a baby cry in the service, and I'm glad when that happens. Some of you are trying to train your kids to sit, and every once in a while they decide, you know, I don't know, their head spins around, demons get inside of them, they decide they're going to scream or holler or go crazy. You know what's funny is this morning, listening to Anthony, I don't know what was with Anthony this morning, but we had some new visitors up here, and Anthony just out in the middle, I'm in the middle, most serious part of my message, and he'll just, and I don't know what I did. And I just keep preaching, man. I just keep plowing deep down there. I think Kevin Bell's tormenting him back there. He's probably whispering to him, laugh. Laugh, Anthony, laugh. I don't know who's causing the commotion back there, but you know what's so normal for us around here. But I started to mention, you know, babies will act up from time to time, and I know parents, you're training, and that's part of it. It doesn't bother the preacher. I mean, if I can't out preach a baby, I'm pretty sorry, preacher. Amen. So I worried about a baby, but you know what? It does every time that happens. You say, preacher, you get aggravated. No, I think to myself, I wonder if all 18 or 19 of them that were back there in the nursery were in here every Sunday. I'd have to out-preach some babies, I'm going to tell you that. Well, nursery, I said all that to say this, nursery workers, you know, we don't say thank you enough. What are you saying, preacher? Thank you for being willing to give yourself to your church. Give yourself to your church. It takes, I mean, this place with all of the multiple ministries has so many moving parts, and so much is done by people that are just, they've taken it on. Pastors come to you and said, listen, I've got to have you do this. I've got to have you oversee it. I've got to have you run with it. And I can't let these things fall through the cracks. And you know what? People just said, preacher, you don't have to worry about it. It's going to be taken care of. You don't even have to think about it. And I think of all the things that happen every single week that, you know, I don't even touch. And it's because people are willing to say, listen, watch this. My church matters. It's important what happens here every week. And I love my church. Okay, you get to the point where you're hanging with the crowd that's convinced you that it's a bad thing to say, I love my church. You're hanging with the wrong crowd, okay? But I love Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I don't just come here and tolerate it. I love it. I love it. And I think it's an honor or privilege to give myself to the church. And as I said, mercy sakes, I look at the volunteer help we have in our school. Before the year's over, we're going to have more than once probably snow covered the parking lot. And Sunday school teachers, I've watched what you've done with these kids this month and pour your heart into them and the things that you sacrifice and the money you spend out of pocket. And it's just, thank you. Every single one of you that's part of every single ministry here. Primary church is such a big deal. Children's church is such a big deal. And people go out there every single week and they just make it happen. They just make it happen. I mean, preacher don't have to spend 1 second of the week worried about all of that. People have just said, preacher, we got it. And tell me what you want us to do. We'll pull it off. We'll do it. And it's such a blessing, such a help. I'm talking about giving of yourself. Hey, it doesn't cost anything. I go, preacher, I don't have but so much money. You give of yourself. Give of yourself. And so we see that. I watch people sacrificially bring in their tithes and offering, and they've done it for another year. And let me just say again, thank you so much for doing that. You know, one man said, giving of your tithe is an exercise in obedience. Giving of your offerings is an exercise of love. And thank you for just caring enough about this place to say, you know what, I just don't attend here, and I'm just not a member here. But I want to have a part of this thing. I want to help carry the burden. I want to obey the Lord. And so thank you for, I don't know how many years now it's been. I mean, good night, probably going on almost 10 years. We've given over $100,000 to missions for the last 10 years, and I think we're going to probably up around $120,000, $25,000 given. Now, think about the size church we have, folks. And by the way, this is not a rich area, and people don't, for the most part, have big, high-paying jobs. Are you listening to me? I mean, I'm not saying we're not blessed. I'm just saying, you know, there's not people walking in here that are too many people making six figures. And that would be true in a lot of churches where there might be 15, 20, 25, 30 people that walk in every. That's not who this is. You know what? We are in the top three counties in Indiana as far as the most economically depressed. We've been able to maintain that status for some time now. I mean, you know what? We're consistent. That's what I tell people. We may not be flashy, we may not be rich, but we're consistent. And so, you know what it is? It's not like we got three or four or five millionaires underwriting what happens here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I tell people, you come to Blessed Hope, you're going to shake hands, you're going to shake calloused hands. These are just hardworking people that just work every single week, and they come in, and they love their church, and they sacrifice. You know what you're doing? You're giving of yourself. When you give money, you gave of yourself. Because that you had to spend the time, think about this, it still comes back to life. You had to spend the time working, and so the time you spent working is life, and you took of what you earned in that time, and you come in and you sacrificially underwrite what goes here. That's a blessing. I'm going to give you this last thought. Christ gave himself for a reason, which takes us back to where we started. In Titus chapter number 2, he said this, who gave himself for us, why? That he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So what it's saying here basically is that Jesus gave himself so that he might redeem unto himself a people who would be inspired by his example and decide to give themselves. He said, listen, I gave of myself so that I could redeem you from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people that are what? Zealous of good works. So a people zealous of good works. Jesus gave himself for a reason. He set the example. Now, let me just encourage you, those many of you that have spent 1919 and you've gave of yourself and you've gave of yourself and you gave of yourself. And listen, I'm human too. I put in a lot of hours. I put in a lot of hours every week. You don't think the devil sometimes on a bad week doesn't sit on your preacher's shoulder and say, is this really worth it? Is this really worth it? You know, and then every once in a while, the Lord will allow me to see something supernatural. And I say to myself, you know what, it is worth it. I guess I could give myself to myself. Give of myself to myself. I guess I could give of myself to the world. But I think I'll just keep giving of myself to him. I put out on the sign, and if you've seen it, if you're coming in, you know, people that drive in from the south never read what's on the north side of the sign. And people that come in from the north, you know, they're blessed, and they see both sides of the sign, and because they care about our church, and they, they come. But I put on the north side of the sign, I put on there, Jesus gave himself for you. Now it's your turn. Yes, sir. And can I say that maybe summarizes the whole message tonight? Hey, let's go to the Bible and say, show me, I dare you, show me one selfish thing Jesus ever done. And I'm not up here telling you that it's wrong every once in a while to do something for yourself. I'm not that guy. But I'm just telling you, show me where Jesus, show me one selfish thing. Well, if he can spend his entire life living for others, don't you think we could reevaluate our lives and say, you know what? Sure. I could take my time and I could do this and this and this and it would benefit me and it would be something I enjoyed. But if I'm going to live like Jesus, I think I want to set a goal in 2020 to see just how much of myself I can give away. How much like Jesus I can truly be. That's the challenge going into the new year. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to look at these verses. Thank you for preserving these two words together. Gave himself over and over and over. We're reminded Jesus gave himself. The gift of you. The gift of you. I pray, Lord, that we'd learn it. I pray, Lord, that as we interact with the lost, we would not just be interested in giving them the gospel, but also our own soul. I pray, Lord, as we minister in our church and our family and our workplace, we might just look for opportunities to give of ourselves. Lord, thank you so much for setting the right example for us. Jesus, thank you for giving yourself to old lost sinners. Because if you hadn't been willing to do that, I'd never been saved. Lord, I pray that we'd learn a valuable lesson, the gift of you. Pray these things in Jesus' name.